If you're a fan of the paranormal world, then you'll love WLTK-DB Talk Radio. Talk shows bringing you the latest on everything paranormal, cryptozoological, metaphysical, true crime, psychic readings, and more. The truth is here and now on WLTK-DB Talk Radio at WLTKDB.com.
Do you want to do a real paranormal investigation of a well-documented haunted location? Here's your chance. Join our team as we continue the investigations of the Gaynor Tavern, currently Bean Stamper's Gentleman Club in Mackville, Wisconsin.
Originally built in 1877, the building was served as a general store, blacksmith shop, tavern, post office, dance hall, and bar. The building was originally built by Michael Gaynor and remained in the family for five generations before being sold to Bean Snappers in 1993. Throughout documented history, the building has been hit four times and burned twice, with four recorded deaths on the property.
Some of the most notable paranormal claims that we have documented are a male disembodied voice, a female disembodied voice, objects moving, doors opening and closing, lights turning on and off, knocking in response to questions, the sound of someone sitting down next to you on furniture, physical interactions including being touched, hair brushed, and scratched, and other unexplained responses through our equipment, which include a REM pod, EMF meter, and an obelisk.
Bring your own equipment, or we have some you can use while you're here. Audio and video recording is encouraged. Here is your chance to investigate the paranormal. For the very first timers to the experienced professionals, we can walk you through, or you can take the lead. The time is yours. Ask your questions and get your answers. Limited space is available for tours, so make sure you purchase your tickets in advance at wisconsincaps.com. Click on the Gaynor's Tavern link under public events. Welcome to the official Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society's podcast. I'm your host, Barnaby, and you're listening to Whispers from the Dark. Hello and welcome to another great episode of Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Barnaby. Alongside me today is Ma. How you doing?
I'm okay.
That's good. Are you here any better this time?
No.
No?
I'm just pretending.
This is
directly into my ears.
This is the first time that we are recording since Rhinelander. So you guys just got to hear all the Rhinelander episodes with Gott Skonson and Chad Lewis and MetaZoo, EVP Paranormal, and Cryptid Comforts. So those are really cool. So we are here today set up at Elmwood's UFO Days. Yeah, and then what did you say about in the distance over there?
The mountains.
Yeah, we are downtown.
Surrounded by mountains.
Yeah, on all sides here.
I guess they call them hills, but they're pretty big.
It's like driving through Kentucky again.
Mm-hmm.
Very much. So we are here in...
That's what my merchandise thought, too.
Yeah. Tell us the story of your mystery trailer.
The first one or this one?
All of it.
Oh, first one was paranormal activity in the trailer while we were driving. I don't remember which city it was, but
that was going to Janesville.
Yeah. Was that all?
That was Janesville, yeah.
Oh, well. In my crate, which is, well, it wasn't that great of a crate, but in the bottom of the crate, there's a box with a Sharpie in it and some tape and other stuff. The Sharpie got brought up to the top and opened itself up. The cap was out of the crate. The Sharpie was still stuck on the top of the crate. Drew all over a plastic bag that had my tablecloths in it. Just in one corner. I don't know how it stayed there and what it was trying to draw. I couldn't make out the picture. And then I had two rolls of paper towel in there, too, which unrolled themselves almost completely within the trailer all over the place. And there was something else. Oh, it emptied my whole pump container of hand sanitizer into my crate. And that had ridden to other shows multiple times, never did anything. And the whole thing was empty in the bottom of my crate.
That rode all the way to CryptidCon last year in Lexington, yeah, Kentucky, from Wisconsin, and it couldn't make it to Janesville.
So that was a nice gooey mess. Now I have locking crates. So now when the things pop out, they just stay within the crate. Like today, my whole three-ring binder of stickers, they all came out of their pouches. So they rearranged themselves. Some went in different pouches. So, yeah, that was fun putting that all back together.
And your patches?
They were totally gone. Just mine were missing off of his board.
I have
two patches for sale, and he put them on the board, and they were gone.
Yeah, we have a whole bulletin board of patches of everything from Bigfoot and UFO and stuff, and there was just this big gap in the middle of it. And
maybe they don't like Bigfoot on that board.
The only thing, no, there's a lot of other Bigfoot on there. The only two patches off that were missing were hers. We found them in the road in front of the booth today,
yeah,
next to the car where I unloaded.
Where he unloaded the
that's
car.
Right. Yep, that's right. We are out here in Elmwood, Wisconsin for UFO Days, and we are in town because we are doing a UFO episode for next summer. Should be out around July of next year, and we are hoping to talk to some witnesses in town and do some filming at this location. So it's a little late to come out and check us out, but that's where we were today. So we're looking forward to talking to some...
It's not late, it just started. It was all day. We're here.
Well, yeah, well, hopefully you came out and visited us because this is going to air after we were here. Yeah, we're not live.
Oh,
we could be live.
That's right.
Do you want to be live?
No.
Okay.
Want to be alive.
Do you want to be alive? No.
You told me to drink Mountain Dew in the morning. I didn't get any Mountain Dew yet.
Do you want to do your book?
No.
No.
I have three books. No.
And now it's time for Ma's Book Corner.
Yay!
Yeah, that's what you think.
What have you been reading?
Yeah, such a short chain here, I can't even reach the book. Oh, isn't he cute? I have this very colorful book. Lumberjack Creatures of the North Woods by Chad Lewis.
It's
appropriate because he's not from far from here, but there's a rumor that he might show up, but I doubt it.
So how was the book?
If he does, I'm selling his books anyway, so, you know, selling them for him. He knows about it.
Does he?
Well, he did a couple months ago when I talked to him. Okay, so anyway, there's this very colorful book with the lumberjack on the front and a rolling snake and this long-nosed, I forgot what he's called, but he looks like a moose, but he's
Oodag.
Got a really, yeah, he's got a really long Oodag. Nose. And then there's this Oodag. Cute little jackalope and the a little axe-headed wiener dog on the back. And they've started a fire. It's kind of scary.
Oh, good.
Anyway, this is a cool book. He says there's hundreds of different cryptids, but he's picked his top 20 and wrote about each little one, so the little myth behind them, and so it's a nice little book. $7 online.
Very cool.
Or here if you come today, but
or anywhere else you find us.
Yeah.
Or Chad Lewis, who will
yes.
be all over.
Find Chad somewhere.
You can go find Chad. He is wherever mysteries are abound or something. And
yeah, well, I don't
go back and listen to the Chad Lewis episode. He'll tell you where to find him.
Bio.
Yeah.
Wherever there's a dare, that's where he is.
Mysteries abound.
Nice guy.
Yep.
Good book.
Nice guy.
Lumberjack Creatures of the North Woods. Oh.
And they are about to start the fun run. Why would you run for fun?
Pancakes here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some aliens across the street.
There's some pickles next door. Pickle.
We just got invited to investigate a refrigerator because there's some strange things in the back of it. All right, guys. Well, we're going to have
some
guests. We're going to have some guests on hopefully today and share some cool UFO stories and hopefully talk to one of the UFO researchers that's here as well. So look forward to that coming up, and we'll be right back. All right, our next guest here on Whispers from the Dark is a speaker here at the event today. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Daniel. I'm with UFODays.net. That's my hobby blog website that's trying to chronicle the phenomenon that is Elmwood, Wisconsin.
Oh, cool. So it's all just based right around here.
Well, I cover a lot of UFO-type sightings from western Wisconsin and Minnesota. Try to tell these stories in using old journalism and such and chronicling things that have otherwise been lost to history.
Very cool. So you go all the way, but like how far do your reports and stuff go?
I'm mostly pulling from the 1970s when this stuff was really hot and happening. That's what put Elmwood on the map and made Elmwood into the UFO capital of the world, as they say.
What about Roswell? Isn't that the UFO capital?
Yeah, you know, I think Elmwood was famous before Roswell was famous. Roswell really kind of broke into the consciousness, the general consciousness of ufology probably in the 80s and the 90s. Back in 1975 is when we were having our sightings. I know Roswell happened in 1947, but that was another story that was basically lost to history for a long time. What was it, Stanton Friedman who opened that case back up into the public consciousness. So how does Roswell? Roswell, of course, has got the big story, the crashed UFO. Did the government really cover that up? Was it a weather balloon? Was it a secret government project to monitor Soviet nuclear progress? Who knows? We'll probably never know. But here in Elmwood, we had a lot of government interest too. Back in the 80s, they were sending actual domestic division of the CIA was sending government agents to Elmwood's UFO Day festivals to interview the locals and find out what was really going on here. The Center for UFO Studies said that Elmwood was surpassed in the number of high quality sightings only by New Mexico. So that's I guess that's Roswell. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. So why did you get started in all this stuff for researching here? Why did you pick Elmwood?
I'm sort of local. I'm a pastor in Hudson, Wisconsin, and got interested in UFOs back in 2016. That's another story for how that came about. But heard about this festival, I think it was 2018 when I first heard about this festival on Minnesota Public Radio. And it was the 40th anniversary of the festival or something like that. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. That's like right in my backyard. So I came out here and I was like, this is so cool. I grew up in a small town of about 800. I live in St. Paul now, but I grew up in a small town like this. And so I had a sort of natural affinity with what's going on here. So I guess that's my story of involvement. I'm not from Elmwood, but I'm trying to be the historian who holds the story of UFO days together.
That's awesome. So what is the story of Elmwood UFO days? How did it get started? What was like the first sighting?
Well, the first sightings go back to the 1960s, but those didn't really come out of the woodwork until the big national attention cases in the 1970s. What happened was we had a police officer who had an encounter, and you know that brought about a lot of credibility. And this is in 1975, with this, okay, a police officer, and this got picked up by the AP, and it got spread around, you know. And so it's like it's appearing in all these newspapers all over. And he was even interviewed for a LP that came out in 1976. A vinyl LP about the UFO subject. I'd like to get my hands on a copy of that. It's pretty rare, but and so his name was George Wheeler, and he brought a lot of like media attention to the situation. At the same time, the same year, there was just a lot of UFO activity in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Leonard Nimoy's In Search Of team was out here covering stuff. The Center for UFO Studies was out here covering stuff. And then we had that same year, we had the school teacher, Elmwood school teacher Carol Forster, who was pursued by a UFO with her children and had a really close encounter, really quite frightening. And that story also received national attention. And so eventually, you know, these things circulated around. And back in the, I'm going to say back in the late 1980s, there was a guy named Tom Weber who had the idea that, well, there's a lot of UFO sightings around Elmwood. Maybe that would be a good place to put in a landing platform for them. You know, some sort of welcoming center. So he put in this UFO, he wanted to raise $40 million or something to put in this UFO welcoming center. I think it was based on the Steven Spielberg film, Close Encounters, where you see that big welcoming center at Devil's Tower. He wanted to build one of those. And so that was his, and you know, that's just weird enough for the media to want to pick that up for its kooky story feature. And that went everywhere. And then Geraldo Rivera and like the media everywhere, it was, everybody was paying attention to what's going on here at that point. But the festival, I think it used to be called Stars and Stripes Day or something like that, you know. So back in the 1970s, the late 70s, they changed their name to UFO Days because that's what was actually bringing national attention to the town. So that's the story of UFO Days in a nutshell.
That's really cool. Yeah, I'm from Wisconsin. I grew up here and all this, you know, and I mean, I've been into paranormal and cryptids and that my whole life and that, but I didn't really know that, you know, like you said, that this was such a big event, like, as far as the history of it being associated, you know, with bigger than Roswell and stuff, so.
Oh, yeah, well, I you know, it's, I wouldn't say bigger than Roswell anymore, but in terms of the sheer number of what they call high-quality encounters, that's what the Center for UFO Studies said at the time, high quality cases, and not just Elmwood. Okay, so Elmwood's sort of like the center of a whole circle of activity that extends from the St. Croix River Valley up through, you know, Pierce County area and such, and so there's cases, we have cases from all over back in the 1970 waves mostly. And people keep seeing stuff. I keep getting, people keep telling me stories all the time. So it's not like it's just gone away, but it was really, we're talking about a concentration that was happening from 1974 through about 1979. That's when you had major flaps going through the area. You're familiar with that term, flap.
Flap, I am.
It's like a ufology term.
Yep.
It means a concentration of UFO sightings.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think that this area has had so much activity?
Oh, people have all sorts of crazy explanations for that, but the real explanation is we have no idea. We have no idea what these things even are. You know, we don't know. It's all just speculation. It's all guesswork. I've heard all sorts of different ideas. What it is interesting, though, when you drive into Elmwood, isn't it? Like, as you drive into Elmwood, you're like, you're just driving along. You're going to Wisconsin, Wisconsin, Wisconsin. And then suddenly you drop into this valley and you go, holy cow, where am I, right? Mm-hmm. Because the geology around here is so, so remarkable. We're actually in the crater of an enormous meteor that hit in prehistoric times, smashed a hole in the crust of the earth here, and did this massive churning of the ground. And that's why we have these abrupt hills that just shoot up like crazy, you know, to the left and to the right surrounding the town. So there is sort of this astronomical wow factor for the land here. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but it does add to the mystique of the area.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, if there's something underground here, you know, a meteorite or whatever it was that, you know, maybe it's drawing or attracting or it has that energy.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, we absolutely have no idea how any of this stuff works or what's going on. You're in the business, so you know better than I do. What you know, it's like you think you come up with a theory and then it's like, no, it's like, it's weirder than that.
The more answers you get, the more questions you end up having.
Yep. Yeah.
Do you know any, like, the local, like native tribes and stuff in this area? Do you know if they had, you know, in, like, a lot of places when they have, like, high activity and stuff, they you find
connections with Native American spirituality,
yeah,
and such?
Yeah, yeah, like the mounds, yeah, and that.
Right. No, okay, so I don't, you know, okay. I wish I did. I don't know the Native American history around here. I do believe that we're still in Sioux territory. At least most recently. This would still be Sioux territory. I'm more familiar with Ojibwe territory, which is a little further north, but maybe it extended this far down. So, you know, you get up into the Lake Superior area, and that's all solid Ojibwe. And I'm pretty familiar with the spirituality and what was going on up there, but I've never really looked into the local Wisconsin thing. That's a good idea.
Yeah, you know, like you said, you know, like you have all these, you know, like Aztlan and, you know, all these mounds and Native American sites and stuff are supposed to be
absolutely
full of energy in that. So if there's, you know, we're talking about the meteor crashing here and stuff, if there's that kind of energy, it'd be really interesting if there was also, you know, they found the same connection with their spirits and stuff.
I have no idea.
Okay.
But it's an intriguing thought, you know, and I really think that the more I study this phenomenon, not that I'm a UFO expert or anything like that, but the more that I do study the phenomenon, the more I begin to be convinced that we're dealing with a spiritual phenomenon, we're dealing with a religious phenomenon more than a technological phenomenon.
So what is your, like opinion? What do you think these things are? Do you think that they're from outer space? Do you think they're interdimensional? Do you think that they're nuts and bolts? Or are they more, like you said, more of a spiritual energy kind of thing?
You know, I'm starting to wonder if there really is a difference between any of those things. Or is there an all of the above option somewhere that I can press? Because it seems like I've seen, you know, testimony that would point in all those different directions, right? And everybody's experience is really different. And one of the things you're hearing a lot now in ufology and in these circles is that it's all consciousness based, it's all consciousness related. But that's actually a ridiculous kind of statement, because all of reality is consciousness related. Our entire experience, this whole conversation that we're having, is consciousness related. You're a consciousness, I'm a consciousness, and we're having this like conscious exchange with each other. We're having some sort of UFO encounter with each other right now, you know. So I'm not even sure what that really means, but it does. What's cool about the phenomenon is it is pushing those boundaries, and it's forcing us to ask questions about the edge of reality. It's forcing us to look beyond the veneer, the veneer of a materialist, reductionist worldview that we're so accustomed to in the West. And that's pushing it back into spirituality, and that's, you know, as a pastor, that's my work. So there you go. All comes full circle.
There you go. Very good. So you've obviously, like you see, you're telling us that people have come to you and told you stories and stuff. Can you share, like, any, like, what's the weirdest thing that you've heard in the area around here?
Yeah, so the stories come from northern Minnesota to western Wisconsin. It's kind of where I'm focusing my attention. I think one of the weirdest stories I've heard in the local area is, I'm going to tell this story actually at the lecture that I offered today, but there's a local guy by the name of Marlon Cracker, and he is headed into Eau Claire to pick up his son from his mother's house. And he's just driving. It's about, you know, early evening. It's early evening, and he's headed into Eau Claire, and comes to a stoplight, and he's sitting at a stoplight, and he sees all of a sudden this craft. It's the classic UFO flying saucer shape. You know, that's exactly what he says. It's exactly what you would expect a flying saucer to look like. It's coming over the trees just at treetop level. He's like, holy cow, I'm looking at a flying saucer, right? You know, and so as he's just like, this is filling his windshield, and so he's cranking his head around to try to look out the windshield of his truck to get a better look at this thing, and he just got a center light on it. This is just back in 2016, okay? And so he's like, the light turns green, and he's like, what do I do? So he takes off driving, and the thing keeps pace with him alongside. He's just like just hovering silently, keeping pace with him. If he speeds up, it paces him. You know, and that's a real common kind of I've heard that story over and over about how these things will pace a vehicle, they'll pace an airliner, they'll pace a jet fighter. It's almost, their behavior is almost bug-like. You know, like they act like a bug, you know, following a light or something like that. Anyway, so it's following him into and so he's headed into Eau Claire. He heads to a gas station so that maybe somebody else can be a witness. But here's the weird part of the story, because everything I've told you so far is a totally normal kind of... He gets into Eau Claire, and there's nobody. There's nobody. He gets to the gas station, and there's nobody there. And he's like, what's going on here? So he's pulled off into the gas station, and the thing shoots off over the river, shroom, and it's just gone. And it's like... The weird part of this, then he goes home, he gets his son, and he calls the police, he files a police report, and so on, and life resumes as normal. But the weird part of this is that experience, that single experience of the, like we were talking about, it's a, like this interface with a single consciousness that seems to want to reveal itself to an individual, but not so interested in revealing itself to a general public. I don't know how that's possible. I don't know how that works. But that would explain how these things have been around since 1947, and yet still the majority of the population has never seen or experienced or even believes that they exist, because they are acting beyond the regular constraints of what we consider to be reality.
Fascinating. So with all these stories and that, you know, we hear different kinds of aliens, you know, the grays and the Palladians and the human-looking ones. Have you, like, when you have the encounters and stuff around here, or not you, but, you know,
yeah,
the stories you hear.
I've never had encounters myself.
Okay. That was going to be another question.
No, I've never seen Jack.
So have you heard stories of people encountering them, and, like, what species, or I guess how to say it, have you seen, or
right.
have they
okay.
seen? Yeah,
no, I have not. You know, actually, every other than the orbs, like, you know, close encounters with orbs, I have not heard anyone who has what they call, you know, a close encounter of the third kind, you know, with a particular type of alien being, a particular type of species. I've heard some stories about, you know, the grays in the bedroom or whatever, but mm-hmm. I don't really know that that's... I mean, it's not always possible to correlate that with mm-hmm. anything other than weird spiritual phenomenon, mm-hmm. you know, like poltergeist activity or something like this, all right? So, no, I haven't... I don't have anything to report on those lines. But, you know, like I told you, I'm a pastor. I do my regular job. My real job is religion, Bible, that sort of thing. And it's interesting that, you know, there are these types of angels that people are maybe... some people are more familiar with, others less familiar. But we find in Jewish liturgy the angels that are called the seraphim, the cherubim. People call cherubs, cherubim. The chayot, we translate as living creatures. We translate that as living creatures in the Bible. You know, the living creatures, chayot. But we could just translate that as beings. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the Hebrew, chayot. So seraphim, what does seraphim mean? That's burning ones. Burning ones. That's literally what seraphim means, burning ones. That's Hebrew. Yeah, chayot is beings. And I don't know, nobody really knows what cherubim means. Really don't know what that means. It's a name. And then most intriguing to me is the type of angel called Ophanim. Ophanim are wheels. That's seriously a part of Jewish angelology, is that there are angels called wheels. And those are, of course, appear in Ezekiel's vision, in the first chapter of Ezekiel, where he says he sees the wheels that bear up the chariot of God, you know, the wheels. So these, we're actually talking about some sort of being called a wheel, you know, which is like, we say saucer, you know, but there you go.
Yeah, we talk about, like, the different species, you know, like Bigfoot, Yetis, Sasquatch, Yaren, all these different names for Bigfoot seen around the world. And now, you know, we're seeing this more and more, that no matter where people are seeing it, they're seeing the same thing, but they're calling it different because they don't have that connection to to call it the same thing. So that's that's kind of like what you're talking about. Everyone's seeing the same thing, but we're not getting that connection because of the different names and the stuff.
Right. You know, like right now, since 2017, we've been talking about the Tic Tacs, you know, the Tic Tacs. But Lou Elizondo points out over and over that, well, back in the 60s, they were calling them flying propane tanks. You know, they weren't calling them Tic Tacs. They were calling them propane tanks.
Wow, the flying propane tanks. Sounds like a name of a band or something.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that a little bit. So, you know, I think it's just under a year ago now that the Pentagon came out and said, you know, we have crashed or recovery from crash sites. We have ships and stuff from not of this world and that. Mm. And they've come out and said that they've had this debris and that UFOs are basically real. We have the congressional hearing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when we go to these events and we talk to people, nobody knows this.
Right.
Well, why do you think that, you know, like...
And it's not for lack of media coverage.
There's
been an enormous amount of media coverage. I'm not sure. I think, you know, people are just, you know, they just pass over it. It's just like, it's not, you know, it takes a certain sort of personality to be interested in these type of topics. So you're in the business, so I'm sure you're familiar with what I'm talking about. But to be clear, the Pentagon haven't said that we have crashed materials.
They have.
They've said we have materials as appeared in the New York Times, and that was that's a quote by. What's his name? The scientist Eric. I've forgotten his name. But then at the same time, in the hearings, they said no. We don't have anything like that. We don't have anything like that. And what they do have, and what we know that they have, is stuff that's been dropped. You know, that's what we know for certain. And there's no question. I mean, that's verifiable. That there's been like slag metal that was dropped in Iowa and such. And so there's been like weird stuff that gets like dropped from what people see as, you know, hovering craft or something like that. As far as is there actual wreckage? No, they have not said we have wreckage of a crashed UFO. They've been more catty about it than that. And so we're waiting to see. I mean, I'm interested to see what comes out. There's a lot of progress that's happening right now. Congress has just put forward some new bills and some new resolutions that's going to grant immunity to UFO whistleblowers and such. I don't know if you saw that article a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So they're getting ready for what's happening is they're laying the groundwork for new hearings that hopefully will go up to the Senate.
Very cool. So do you think that these are all like, you know, like, obviously there's a lot of people that know more than what's going on. Do you believe that the government is really that naive about what's going on, or do you think only certain people know what's going on? You know what I mean?
All right. So I'm going to give you a really unpopular opinion in ufology, because, of course, the popular opinion is that there is this massive conspiracy in the deep state of the government. My opinion, from what I've read from those who actually were, like John Alexander, who really were in the secret stuff studying UFOs, my opinion is that the government is just as confused as the rest of us. And the reason that this stuff doesn't get attention, well, it's, for one thing, it's kind of a hot potato. Nobody really wants to take responsibility for it because there's no real way to resolve it. There's no real way to say, okay, we figured it out. It's X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And so they're just like the rest of us. And it's not in their best interest to take ownership then of it. And so I think it just keeps getting, it keeps every so often, there's a little noise, somebody makes some noise, a new investigation happens, and then it goes away. And then a little bit, there's a new noise and a new investigation happens, and then it goes away. And there's certainly an agenda in the government ever since the Robertson panel back in the 1950s. There's an agenda in the government to make it go away and to So it's to say, look, we just don't want to deal with that. And you think about it, the military really does have like some higher priorities to worry about. So it makes sense. And the other thing, which often gets brought up, is that if there really was this massive big conspiracy, it's like how could that have been kept when we can't keep anything secret?
Yeah, that's true. I tend to agree with you. I think, you know, like a lot of people are so hung up with the government's not telling us everything. I don't know that the government knows anything, you know?
Exactly.
And they're, you know, if they come out and say, like they have, that there are UFOs, they exist, well, then the next question is, well, what are they? And if they don't have that answer, they're not going to say that they exist, because they are not going to be able to answer that question and answer the following questions and et cetera, et cetera. And it's just a discussion that they're not ready to have yet. So.
Exactly. That's exactly how I see it. And it's sort of, you know, I think what people need to remember is the level of bureaucracy and incompetence that riddles the government. Oh. And just try to apply that level of bureaucracy and incompetence to this massive deep state conspiracy, and it really doesn't work.
Very cool. All right, man. Well, I appreciate your time so much, your wealth of knowledge, all your stories and everything, and I look forward to hearing your presentation tonight. Where can people find you? Where can they contact you?
I've got the website, ufodays.net. Real easy, all one word, ufodays.net. And that's all you need to know.
Very cool. All right, well, thank you very much for being on the show today. Good luck with your presentation, and happy hunting.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, hello there. My name is Michael Butt. I am the owner of More On Productions, makers of Wisconsin Unexplained, and a whole mess of independent feature films and a couple shorts. I did a show a couple years ago called Wisconsin Unexplained, Elmwood UFOs, and I decided to come back and expand upon it because there's so many people have seen UFOs in this area that I barely scratched the surface, and I think I could do an entire hour or maybe even 2-hour documentary. I'm not sure how long it's going to be able to be, but hopefully it'll be good. I have seen UFOs myself.
Oh.
I was expecting you were... I knew you would like that. The first one I saw, I was about 12 years old, 13 years old, something like that. And I was coming back from play practice with my mom. We were on double C. And I saw a big, bright red light in the sky, and my mom was freaking out this whole time. She almost pulls over into a driveway when suddenly the bright light flashes white, goes far off in the distance, flashes again, and is gone. That was the first time I saw one. I actually moved to Elmwood a couple years ago, and I found out later that it was the house that the sheriff who was shot by a beam of light and died later, it wasn't in the house, but that was his house at the time of the incident. And I ended up selling that house. While I was there, I would get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and sometimes I'd see a white light, you know, just like playing around in my, not in the backyard, but in the horizon over my backyard. And I saw it so much, I was just like, oh, there's another one. Stop looking for them because, you know, they're such a little thing that you can't ever get your camera out if it is there or if it's not. And I saw one more that could have been a meteor, but it just bypassed the Earth completely. But this was a different location. It just went from east to west, and it didn't curve with the Earth. It just, you know, was like bypassing us like you would, like a car does on a highway. But my last sighting is the most exciting. That one, I saw this. I actually saw the whole vehicle. I didn't just see a light in the sky. It looked like a cross between the space shuttle, which, if you kids don't know, that's a thing that we had before the downfall of technology. that's been happening lately that could actually repeatedly go into space, and a fighter jet. So it looked like a cross between those two things, and it just flew over my head very silently, no noise like an airplane, just flew right over and was gone. So I'm pretty well invested in the whole UFO conspiracy thing, and I have been since I was a kid. And it's really cool that the Pentagon has admitted that they're there, and I can't wait for them to land and take all of our leaders away because they suck.
Well put, well put. So where did you see the daylight sighting?
The daylight sighting? It wasn't a daylight sighting. It was kind of like a twilight sighting. All I can say is that I was near Baldwin. Okay. I was working at the time, and it's kind of like a sensitive job. Okay. So I can't really discuss much more than that, but it was near Baldwin. I'll say that.
Very interesting. Yeah. Cool. So tell us a little bit more about your documentaries that you made. What else have you done?
Well, I did the whole series, Wisconsin Explained. It is on Amazon. I thought it was on Prime until just yesterday when I found out that only the first episode is actually on Prime, which surprised the heck out of me because somehow 400 minutes a day have been streamed of that for the past I don't know how many days. Not the last two, because I just looked. Those were only 100. But 400 is like an average lately, and I just couldn't believe that that many minutes of one episode have been streamed. But I have I actually have the rest on YouTube. I just put them up there because, you know, they're still for sale on Amazon Prime, but I don't really care for Amazon Prime because they don't really share their money anyway. So I shouldn't really say that online.
You can say whatever you want.
I have no filter today. I'm very tired. I just lugged an entire projector set up with speakers and everything up a flight of stairs. Actually, it was an elevator, but it was a long walk to get to the elevator. so that I can show Vampire Ticks from Outer Space, which is happening at 2:30 today. I don't know if this is live or not. So this is the 30th of 2022, July. And I'd like to also take a moment to tell you all about a film I have called Cosmic Blast. That one's kind of hard to get hold of, but if you go to my website, www.moreonproductions.weebly.com, you can contact me there, or you can contact me via my Facebook. That one, I'm Michael Norman Gale. I left the butt off because I got way too many immature people. Just contact me there, and I will find a way to get you a copy, even if I have to just send you a digital download for free, you know, because I just like to get my stuff out there, and most of my actors, they donate their time. Sometimes they pay for gas, but not often. But, yeah, and if you ever want to be in a movie, you just let me know, or if you have something you want to talk about that's paranormal or extraterrestrial or anything like that, I'd love to interview you for Wisconsin Unexplained. Might be retooling it into Midwest Unexplained and start branching out into Minnesota, but I'm not entirely sure about that yet.
Well, I hope you do. It sounds awesome, man.
Thank you.
I will definitely check that out, and we'll put the links in the show notes for the episode as well. And I wish you the best luck in your presentation today. And if you have anything else to add.
I don't really think so. I think we pretty much covered everything. I'm excited to learn more about Wisconsin caps, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We can definitely talk about that.
Yeah, and if you have any stories about UFOs, I'd love to hear about them.
Awesome. I will definitely share with you.
Yeah, you'll have to give me a card.
I will. do you do anything else like cryptids and paranormal as well? Or?
Oh, yeah. I did I didn't talk about those yet.
Yeah.
I did the Devil's Punch Bowl, which supposedly has gnomes in it, and I didn't get a lot of cool footage from that. I got a lot of neat stuff from him, but the rest was just a little, you know, tiny stories and stuff like that. But I went back there just with my mother, just to visit it, without my camera or anything, and I found this really weird rock. And I have no, it wasn't there before, or probably was, I just didn't notice it. But it had words written on it that were not in English letters, they weren't in Russian letters, they weren't in the calligraphy of the Asian peoples, I don't know what you'd call that, but you understand what I mean. I've never seen this before. I mean, it kind of looked Gaelic.
Oh, cool.
Like, you know, those weird Ys with the with the line in the center, it kind of looked like that, but I didn't see that symbol, so I don't know for sure. And after I was looking at that, something threw a rock at me, and it was just like, okay, well, whatever it is, does not want me here, so I'm just gonna go. And I haven't been back yet because they ripped out the stairs. I was going to go back, but they ripped out the stairs. So I'm going to wait until they get the stairs put back in, and then I'm going to go back over there with a camera. And speaking of that, I'm actually making a found footage film. I'm in the process of making it. I'm still casting it and stuff like that. I had to recast it because I've lost 5 actors due to various scary personal injuries and things like that, like COVID and a hernia mesh. So,
ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. So lots of love to all the people who tried to be in the movie, but don't worry, I will persevere and I'll figure out a way.
Sounds good, man. We actually, on your note of the Devil's Punch Bowl, we didn't find any trolls or anything there, or gnomes or anything. We did find a Bigfoot stick structure.
A what?
Bigfoot structure. Like a stick structure.
Oh, and yeah, they got those weird things. I just assumed those were built by gnomes because...
Could be. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we found that up there, but that's about as much excitement as we found. But
I also did, I almost forgot, I also did one on Pepe. Mm-hmm. That, I don't know if you know the Lake Pepin monster, but I don't want to say that I believe that one's real, but it does have, especially in the 80s, there was a lot of proof, but ever since that, it kind of like turned into a joke. Mm-hmm. But it's still, you know, cool to research, especially the 80s stuff. Like, I don't know, maybe it died out in 1991, and that's why all the stuff, you never know. But it could be a ghost of a dinosaur, like they said on that Men Who Stare at Goats movie.
Yeah.
But, and I, another one was, I did a show about Reiki, the energy healing. I did a show about the spirits of Mabel Tainer, and I'd like to apologize to everyone who did that. I will one day re-edit it again. But I was going through a lot of stuff because that was the first great purge that Amazon did of independent media. So I was really depressed at that time when I was throwing that one together. So it's a little rough, but bear with me. I will get it back together, and I plan to throw it on Midwest Unexplained when the time comes.
Cool, man. Did you say you had a website? I'm sorry, I might have missed that.
www.moreonproductions.weebly.com, and Weebly is one of those host sites because I try to make my movies as quality as I possibly can, I skimp wherever I can too, so not buying a domain name, that saves me a lot of money every month so I can actually make better films. I'd rather put that $30 into a prop than to keep my website going. And I know that's not good marketing practice, but it is good in the long run. At least I hope so.
Definitely, man. Whatever gets it over. And, you know, best of luck with you again. It's been an awesome time talking to you. We got to get to our presentation.
Yeah, though. I got to get back up there and set up a camera, but hopefully not all the seats are taken. All right.
Thank you very much, man.
Yeah. See ya.
Yep. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit us at our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's wisconsincaps.com. There you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and our Patreon. You will see links to our online store as well, where you can get t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you click on the public events page, you can find out where you can meet us in person and all the public events we have coming up. If you enjoy our podcast or our YouTube shows, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/WisconsinCaps. There you can find behind-the-scenes pictures and videos from all of our media, as well as bonus footage and evidence that we have collected. If you have encountered something you can't explain, we want to hear from you. Visit our website and click on Submit a Report on our main screen. You can choose to leave your contact information or simply remain anonymous. You can also reach us via email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our Whispers from the Dark podcast page on Facebook, or send us an email at wisconsincaps.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen or watch or find us.